Turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles and chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, if you would stand for the reading of the Word. I'm going to read the end of the chapter, verses 24 through 28. And we'll call today's message, The Limit That Is Limiting You. We could also call it, Living an Unlimited Life. So it might be a little bit of a different message. But we'll look deeply at the text as best we can in these few moments. Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 28. Hear the word of the Lord. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the Scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the Scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. Heavenly Father, so many different things and areas and we could focus on and areas we could go to and the scope of redemptive and sweep of redemptive history here when this is perhaps 20 to 25 years since Christ arose and yet there were people in scattered regions that didn't really even know about the Holy Spirit and all of that. And so we see a transition here and into chapter 19, Lord. Lord, I ask in your mercy that I might be allowed to present something of this man here, Apollos, and how it can instruct all of us, and that these very things that he was described at are things that you have placed in all of us, and yet we limit. And yet we don't have to. And so take the limits off our minds and our hearts today that we might be fully expressing our Christian life for your glory. And in your name, Lord Jesus, we pray, amen. You may be seated. We live in a world full of limits. There is the speed limit. There is, unfortunately, if you've had to go through this, sir, I'm sorry, ma'am, I'm sorry, your blood alcohol level has reached above the legal limit. All right? All sorts of limits. There's personal limits. What do you think you might be limited by? Maybe your age, right? Maybe your skills, your education. Maybe there's a gender thing you think about. Well, I'm limited because there's a glass ceiling. I'm limited because, you know, I'm disabled in a certain way. I'm limited because my spouse is no longer here. The church limits me because this church believes a certain way about women or about divorce and remarriage or about spiritual gifts or about any number of things. No matter where you are in life or where you go to in life, there are always limits. And sometimes these limits are good and all of that, I understand. But everybody knows what I mean when I say we live in a world of limits. The world is always trying to limit us, and many times we feel limited, and many times we are limited. But let me say something to you. You can live an unlimited life, no matter where you are. There's no one I could look in here today, no one that's going to listen to this broadcast, nobody that would read this or listen to this in the future that has to live a limited life. But you have to change your ideas about what limits really are. You see, because there is the life that we are limiting in ourselves, and there's this unlimited life that God wants to give us, and I'm not a happy, clappy, word, faith, ridiculous church where it's saying, oh, you know, you can live limits of the life and God wants you to live to the full and meaning material things. I'm talking about spiritual things here. When he's talking about Apollos here, he's talking about spiritual power, unlimited spiritually. He's talking about the Holy Spirit living in us and producing this fruit in us and having us win souls to Christ, live for Christ, worship Christ, edify our brothers and sisters in Christ, do all that we can do in the world that we're in and not consider those things limited. Jesus unlimited in us. Now, I would want that. And the more you taste and see that the Lord is good, the more you're really going to want that. There might be times when it goes a lot forward, sometimes when it wanes and all that. But usually, it's not that we are limited, it's that we are limiting. And there's a certain thing that I want to point out today that really puts the limits on people. And that's why I call this message the limit that is limiting you. Now let's look at this man here. Apollos was a man with great gifts who accomplished great things in the early church. He was very knowledgeable and he was a persuasive communicator. The text says he spoke and taught in verse 25. He spoke and taught. He was telling people about Jesus and his daily encounters. He was speaking about him all the time. That's what that means. And taught means he was teaching people about Jesus. So he was walking around telling people about Jesus every opportunity, and he was going around and teaching people in the public, you know, when he had a ministry, you know, this, here, at 3 o'clock, here comes Apollos. Or he steps up on a stump, and here comes Apollos. But just in his daily, he's at the cafeteria, he's at the gas station, he's wherever, and he's talking to people about Jesus. He spoke and talked about Jesus, right? That was going on. You say, well, yeah, but, you know, he was a great speaker. Yes, that's true. Let's look at the words used to describe him. He was eloquent and competent. We'd want to be that, wouldn't we? We think we're not. We're talking about Jesus. We're like, yeah, I just don't know as much as Pastor J.D. I'm here to tell you today that's not necessarily the issue. And that's not necessarily true in the first place. Eloquent and competent. Verse 24. Instructed. In other words, he was catechized. He had it down in his soul. He had been educated. It says he was fervent, accurate. That's verse 25. Look at verse 26. And bold. We think, how can I be bold? This guy has a PhD and I didn't finish high school. And I'm going to talk about a 2,000-year-old book and a bunch of fairy tales? Is that what you think? Sanctify the Lord God always in your hearts and you will be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and respect. 1 Peter 3:15. But look at this again. Let's look at these again. Eloquent, competent, instructed, fervent, accurate, bold. This is the Bible describing him that way. Wouldn't you want to be described that way? I know I would. Let's not lie. Right? And you might not think that these wonderful words could describe you. You might not think that you have these abilities. You might not feel very eloquent, competent, instructed, fervent, accurate, and or bold. You may feel or think you're limited in some way. I don't have the education. I don't have the intellect. I haven't been at this long enough. I haven't done the things I need to do. I can't speak very well. Remember Moses. And God said, I gave you the tongue. I don't sing very well. Sing out anyway. God's the one that made your tongue. He's listening. Yes, get better at it. But you can. You can. Again, you may think or feel that you're limited in some way. But you can be these things. What are they again? Eloquent, competent, instructed, fervent, accurate, and bold. You can be those things. And let me just stop right here and say, you already are those things. Oh, it's not the way you think, I'm going. You already are those things. And you are experiencing these very things in some way, in some areas of your life. Yet you may have a certain type of limiting behavior that's limiting your experience of these things in your life. You're experiencing them in some areas, but you're not experiencing them in other areas. And what does the Bible tell us to do about that? That's what we're going to look at today. Now let's look at these words one by one. Let me prove something to you about you personally. Eloquent here means fluent. Right? Doesn't mean it's just high-minded. I am so eloquent and loquacious and all these polished words. And here I am, a powerful orator, J.D. Hatfield. He's eloquent man. Yeah, big E. Eloquent man, right? I mean, if you listen to any of my sermons, just go back a few weeks and I was talking about doo-doo. Remember? Stop dancing in the dog do. Yeah, that's Mr. Eloquent. But here it means fluent. He spoke the lingo. He knew the language. He was able to convince. Now, competent here means powerful and well-versed. Let me say something. Everyone. Someone say everybody. Say everyone. Everyone. Let's say anyone. Anyone can speak eloquently about the things they care about. Your favorite sports team? I bought tickets to Gators versus Seminoles today. Woo! I'm going to be there, and I can talk to you about all what's going on and the new coach and all this other stuff. I can speak very eloquently about how the Gators are of God and how the Seminoles are of the devil. Well, the sky is blue and the sun is orange, but there we go. I know, our Kentucky fans out there. Well, the point is your favorite sports team, right? I started up my fantasy football, which I've won 4 out of the last 5 years. Thank you very much. And I had a guy coming today. He goes, I just realized I lost to you by only 6 points, and I don't like that. And I said, we are the champions. We are. And I took a picture of the trophy and gave it as proof of life. And there really is a trophy because I'm the one who always wins it, so not everybody knows we have one, and it's never going anywhere else. But I can speak eloquently about it, right? I can go on all day. I won't go on all day. But you're talking about somebody, and they talk about things, and they go on all day. They could go on all day. How about kids, the music? Oh, that One Direction. Oh, 5 seconds of Sunday Sauce or whatever the name of them is. Yeah, I know. I'm beyond the cool factor now. I'm way over the hill. We have a child that's over the hill. Yikes, anyway. And she's going to listen and go, that's not funny, Papaw. But music, TV show. I'm binge-watching Chuck. Yeah, and I can talk about this and that. Oh, I can tell you about this. Oh, watch this show, do this. Or the 700 Club, whatever. I can be spiritual, you know. But you're all excited about a certain TV show or a certain movie, right? And you speak about it. Well, Inside Out was cool. And this, and then I knew when the little thing died. And then this, don't, you know, right? You can speak eloquently about it. How about a book? People come to me all the time. You got to read this new book. And give me some Bible. What Bible are you excited about? The newest tech gadget. We got a new wireless computer the other day for Margie. There's no wires. And I was Mr. Tech and installed Windows 10 on both of our computers. Wait a minute. If I'm eloquent man and I'm tech man, I'm ET. But that's just... Yeah, let me get back to the Bible here. That's where I'm safe. But that's the thing. A new car, a new house, a new spouse, children or grandchildren. I could tell you, Sweet Pea, my little Sweet Pea, 8 years old, made a dress out of a Payless bag. And she's like all freighting it around. I'm like, Sweet Pea can make even that look good. And I could tell you the color of it, what she was wearing besides and all that. I could go on and on and on about one silly little picture that won't matter a difference in time, but it matters to me, and I can speak eloquently about that. And there's things that people know, they're like, okay, I remember, but they don't remember as much as you because you care about it, you love it. You can speak, and you do speak. If someone's doing you wrong, oh, that Marty, he's just not treating me right, you know, and he did this to me and this, that, and you're going to speak very eloquently. You'll remember every little detail. And then when it comes to his side, you're not so eloquent all of a sudden. Am I getting your mind going? You are well-versed when it comes to things that thrill you. You are well-versed. Anyone can be powerfully convincing when it comes to what they love and their reasons for loving it. You just don't understand this, this, and this. No, I have a reason for this. I can justify this, 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 and this. And you're speaking really eloquently and really powerfully and really convincingly. You're well-versed in why I need to help you out in the way you want to be helped. I need that money, baby. I need that loan. I need this to happen. Why? Well, you're being very eloquent. You're being very confident about it, right? Now, instructed here means taught. Everyone loves learning about what they love. I played violin when I was 7, 8, 9 years old, but I couldn't give a rip about it now. But then all of a sudden, now my grandson is playing, and I'm all excited, and we were able to send him a violin through the help of other people, and he got excited about this, and he's had his first lesson. He's already popped his first string. And for those that play the violin, you know, it's like shooting your first deer. He popped his first string. He's playing that sucker. Right? But my grandson Ian is really looking forward. He's loving learning this and lessons, and he gets some private lessons and all of this. And it's like he's loving it. He's not perfect at it yet, but he is instructed. You all want to learn about what you really love. You're scoping that girl out. You're scoping that boy out. What do they like? What flowers like? Does she like candy? Does that look stupid? Should I do this? Should I do that? I wonder, does he surf? Is this? And blah, 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 blah. We become schooled in those that we are trying to, yeah. Right? Everyone loves learning about what they love. Now, fervent here. We're still looking at these words. Have they come across to you yet? You see that we all are these things in a certain way? But are these to God? Now, fervent here, zeo in the Greek, it means to boil over. Boil over. Everyone's boiling over with excitement and enthusiasm when it comes to the things they treasure. Oh, yes. Everyone's motivated by something, even if it's laziness. You're motivated to do nothing. I'm real motivated for that afternoon nap. Yes. Now, accurate here means diligent. It means diligent. Everyone is diligent to try and get what they truly want. Everyone is. Bold here means fearless and confident. Now, many people do have a fear of public speaking. That's true. But everyone has a measure of confidence when it comes to speaking about what they really know and love from their heart. They're confident to speak about it. We all are. Oh, you just got to have the burrito at Burrito Brothers. It's worth driving there. Just drive up there and visit someone's Shands and call it mileage, because that way you can just go right across Gale Lemerod there and go right to the Presbyterian Student Union and get the best burrito in the world. Oh, so yeah, if you go to Shands, I have an ulterior motive, but you see what I'm saying? Everybody, when it comes right down to it, they can speak about what they know and love. And the more you do it, the more competent you are. When you come right down to it, you really are eloquent, competent, instructed, fervent, accurate, and bold about some things. Everyone is. Can I get an amen? Just setting us up here. Even so, you can be all of these things and still be missing something, like Apollos was. But he didn't miss out on it for very long. You see, this man was already polished and powerful. I mean, that's obvious, right? Look at his glowing terms. But there was one other thing that really made him great. One important thing that kept his ministry growing and becoming more powerful. And you see that in the text. What was it? How did he get that thing that he was missing and avoid being limited? The answer is that his ministry kept developing because he kept developing. And he kept on developing because he was teachable. Teachable. That is the limit that limits many people. They had some vision. They had some thing happen. And so now they're Moses. And they don't learn from anyone else. They're unteachable. They may be way ahead of the pack for a little while, but their own arrogance will be their undoing. Mark my words. It's terrible to see, especially when it's in the mirror. Again, people can be somewhat teachable, but only on their own terms. And that limits them from growing in maturity like they could and should. But here, you see in this text, Apollos was teachable. They took him to the side. They didn't go, well, excuse me, who are you to teach me? I'm the eloquent, mighty man. No. As a result of his being teachable, he became even more accurate. Didn't say he wasn't accurate. Let's say he was teaching doctrinal error, but there were some things missing. He didn't know all about Jesus. Maybe it was Pentecost. Maybe there was something. But the point is he was able because he was willing. And look at what happened in verse 27 and 28 here. Look at it. He wished, but it was granted. He wished to cross to Achaia. The brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed. And he powerfully refuted the Jews. And he showed this. See, when he wanted to pursue his passion because he was teachable, his desire was met with delight, not disdain. They wanted him. Apollos, coming here? Excellent. Right? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean an ice cream truck or a Cadillac. It means you're delighting yourself in the Lord, so you get the more of the Lord. Look at the text again. Just be looking down at your Bible. More opportunities open for him. And people were encouraged to recommend him. Wow. You say, well, I'm in a position where no one's going to recommend me because of my past. I'm standing here before you today. And yes, there are people that would try to limit that because of what my past was. And yet the man's gift makes room for him. There will be a place. Things will open. And they can open again. Right? And things happen. Why? Because if you're going along the right track, people are wanting, that are going to Hallelujah Course go, jump on the bus. They were pleased. They wanted to. Here comes Apollos, the eloquent man. Not the eloquent, arrogant man, but the eloquent, teachable man. More opportunities opened for him. People were encouraged to recommend him. Look at the text. He was welcomed by ministry leaders. They told the disciples, say, Apostle John, Apostle Paul, all you people, this guy is Ace's man. This is the guy you want. He comes recommended. And he greatly helped the believers. And he powerfully and publicly defended the faith. And it was all grounded in the Scriptures and centered on Christ. That's what happens when the limits come off. And you have had this experience. Oh, yes, you have. You really loved something, and you shared what you knew about it as best you could. Maybe you were a kid, or maybe, you know, you got in auto mechanics, and you just learned about the internal combustion engine, and you're going this, that, and the other thing, and you knew about gears, and you knew about this, and a flywheel, and you knew all this stuff. And then, you know, one of your mechanic buddies, or your dad in my instance, said, well, hold on, son. It's more like this, this, and this. And what happened? I was even more confident to talk about how Chevy's better than Ford. Oh, sorry. Anyway, the point is you have that experience, don't you? I have a Honda Fit now. And I had this Fit. And I've had it for 6 years. And the church helped us with it. And now it's paid off. And then our friends, Paul and Melissa, they got one. Why? Because I was going about this Fit. And they're going to go, oh, I'm going to try this phone. Try Fit. Get a Fit. Do this. And now... they knew how great it was. And then Paul, who has a disability, has maybe a hard time getting in and out. He got in the Fit and goes, ooh, this is pretty good. Then he got his own. He's like, ooh, 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 ooh. I love this car. Now Paul and Melissa have marital problems because they're fighting over the Fit. They're having a Fit over the Fit. And so now it's like, my wife, my new computer, I got to get one too. See, that's what happens. I got to get me some Jesus too. They say, wow, look at Apollos. Look what's going on here. See, you know something, you love something, you're talking about it. What's the 5 seconds to summer or whatever? And you're fine. Now, and then I take my, let's say take my granddaughter, I'm not going to do it, oh girls. I'm going to take my kids to that. And then I find out, and then I'm wearing the t-shirt. Then I can speak about them even more. Not just because my kids like them, because I like them. Yeah. You found out something more about it, you're able to speak about it in a better and even deeper way, right? That's the way it is in the Christian life. Everyone needs maturing, and that means we all need to stay, you need to stay teachable. If you can't be taught, you won't grow into maturity in ministry or in life. Anybody listening? Geekies, you listening? Bible scholars, you listening? You know Greek and Hebrew, you're listening? You've been to seminary, are you listening? Let me tell you something. This doesn't mean just learning from books or learning from experience. Our text here shows you learning from the lives of others. And it doesn't matter if they're not as smart as you, not as educated as you. If you can learn from anybody, you will learn from everybody. That's what God wants to do, is make all of life speak to you about the Bible. Oh, yes. This can be you. You see, the world says you can't teach an old dog new tricks. But the Bible teaches you how to stop being a dog in the first place. It does. Outside are dogs. Read the end of the book. Beware of the dogs. Don't throw your pearls before dogs. I'm not talking about Rover. I'm talking about Ewer. I need to say that again because that's just so good. The world says you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but the Bible teaches you how to stop being a dog in the first place. But some people act like kids. Tell them the truth. Tell them how to follow the truth. And they say, I know, I know. The pin drop. Oh, I know, I know. You've done it. I've done it. Go home and look in the mirror and say, I know, I know. All right, I've never done this in 11 years here. Look at your neighbor and go, I know, I know. Now we're like all the other churches in the area that do that because it's like still cool or something. I've never done that. I know, I know. But we do that, don't we? Wait, I got a mirror here. I know, I know. Because it does that. We do that. And you're like, someone's trying to help you. And you think, but look, if you can't learn from the people that are on the same team, you're not going to, oh. Everybody has to stay teachable. And we think we are. Well, we ain't. People can recognize. There's a difference between recognition and realization. Recognize means I acknowledge it. Realize means I catch in. I make it real. That's what the word is, realize. I realize it. I make it real. People can recognize the truth they hear or see, but they don't realize it in their life. They don't make it real because they aren't really teachable. They may try and learn from books or some anonymous source like the TV or a movie or the internet, but they won't be taught by someone right in front of them. And they're limiting themselves. Let's talk a little bit more about Apollos. He knew about repentance. He knew John. He knew the baptism of John. He knew John had taught about Jesus. But his knowledge, even though it was rightly used, was limited. He only knew Jesus up to a point. How about you? Do you know about Jesus or do you really know Jesus? You see, Apollos was missing a piece of the puzzle, but he wasn't limited by being unteachable, so he burst through the limited knowledge he had. Don't you want to do that? Don't you want to burst through the ceilings? You got to be teachable. And that means you got to be able to learn from anybody, positive and negative. No matter where you are. There could be in front of a million people or one person or in a cave like John on the island of Patmos getting the revelation. You see, the text doesn't say exactly what he was missing. Again, whether it's the outpouring of the Spirit at Pentecost or, you know, whatever it might be. Apollos didn't hold doctrinal errors. He just had an insufficient understanding. And so Aquila and Priscilla, who were fellows of Paul, who got left, Paul went up to Galatia. He left Aquila and Priscilla there to guide things at Ephesus, and they took him apart, not in front of people. They took him aside to teach him. Now, most times it is wise to take someone aside instead of trying to teach or quote-unquote correct them in front of others. Now, there is a time for public correction, of course, and that's up for me to decide. Thank you very much. But Apollos was doing the right thing, the right way, the best he knew. Again, you've heard me say it this way. You don't look, you're on this side of the pool, there's someone struggling in the middle of the pool, you don't say, excuse me, why aren't you on this side of the pool? You say, can I help you? Let me stick my hand out there. You don't get in and drown with them. You know what they teach lifeguards or whatever, you get out there, you got to knock the guy out so we don't drown both of you. The point is that Apollos wasn't doing anything wrong as far as he knew, but he didn't know enough. And he was willing to be, he was right, but he was willing to be made more right. Amen? I mean, we're in the faith, we're in the right faith, and I believe you're in the right church, but we can be more right. Aquila and Priscilla didn't want to embarrass him. They wanted to encourage him and empower him. And if you look at the text, you see that Apollos was encouraged and empowered. You see that it got even bigger. He went from one place to another, and people were sending him on and wanted to help him. You read Titus, I think it's 3:13. He says, give Apollos whatever he needs and don't limit him at all. Wow! Give and it shall be given to you. You know, right? Now, Apollos didn't take an unteachable posture, as if to say, who do you think you are to teach me? What's your reason for being here? I'm sorry, I've done that too. But it's like, excuse me, are we wearing the same jersey or not? Are we trying to help people or not? I mean, I get people all to me all the time, you know, and I'm John Calvin, and there's Joe Sixpack. But does that mean I can't learn anything from it? Are you kidding me? And when you have an intellect, you gotta be careful of that. Because you think, what can I do with these people that are bonkers? That's what happened to me in Citrus County. I'm a city boy. I'm from Orlando. And I've got blah, blah, blah IQ, and I've done this, and a master's degree, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm here? Yikes! But God had to say, buddy, you need to learn to be a twig before you can be a tree. And you might just be a tree planted where I want you. Otherwise, you bear poison fruit. It's not the size of your audience, it's the size of your Jesus, folks. I'm telling you. Are you listening? Some hearts are hard and it limits them. As if they'll only learn from certain people at a certain time in a certain way. They're controlling their own growth. Or you can only learn from certain situations. You can't learn if it hurts. Can't learn if someone accuses you. You can't learn here. You can't learn here. Sometimes the only lesson to learn is a lesson of faithfulness and that God has got you. You're either in God's hands or the devil's hands. When we say he's got the whole world in his hands, we mean God, but he ain't, the devil's got people in his hands. They're in his grip. until we're in. You see, you're either going to have to be sinners in the hands of an angry God or saints in the hands of a happy God. I'm a saint in the hands of a happy God. Thank you, Jesus. That don't mean I don't feel bumps and bruises. It means somebody comes at me and God clenches his fist. Might hurt a little bit to me, but ain't no one getting in. Oh, but you can just jump out. That same hand that keeps other people out holds you in. No one can snatch him out of my hand. You ain't getting out. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. You might as well just get used to it and stop limiting yourself and get with God. Anybody, please. Again, all of that just limits. It closes yourself off from God making all of life a lesson and how the Scriptures are true and how they apply to everything. That's when life will teach you and your life will teach others, and that's when the limits come off. Thin skin and a hard heart will make you unteachable, but thick skin and a tender heart makes you able to grow. Let's just look at Paul here. I'm going to turn to Philippians 1, then we'll look at Philippians 3 here in a moment. But Philippians chapter 1, Paul's in prison. He was limited. You know what he said, though? He told Timothy, I may be bound, but the Word of God is not bound. And look what's happening here. Some, in verse 15, some preach Christ from envy and rivalry, others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. So what then? I'm going after them with a stick. No. Only in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in that, I rejoice. You know, there's pastors and preachers and teachers and evangelists out there that aren't going to heaven, and yet people still get saved in their ministry. Judas healed people and raised them from the dead. I want ministry to survive. I want good things to happen. I want Jesus to proclaim. But sometimes, let me say this, imperviousness to personal offense is a sign of spiritual maturity. Oh, I'm hit! Right? And a person who is easily offended is not spiritually mature. I don't care how many Bible verses you know, and you're speaking eloquently back to me. A person that's easily offended is not spiritually mature. So many people display their immaturity this way. Apollos could go, well, excuse me. Well, you can't believe these people. This is a woman talking to me. Think about the culture at the time. It says Priscilla and Aquila. Oh, my. It seems like some people are just looking to be offended, which means they're looking to show their immaturity. Think about that. They want everybody to know about it, and they feel good about it. Wow. It's something we all need to be working on, right? Yeah. Are you teachable in this area, or have I just offended you? I said this before. If you can learn from anybody, you can learn from everybody. Life will give you never-ending examples about how the Scriptures are true and how they apply. In both the negative and positive sense, you'll see what to do and what not to do. You see the mote in your other brother's eye. It's not like you're not supposed to pick it out. You're supposed to look in the mirror and realize, oh, wait a minute, that's what that looks like? You see someone stepping in the doo-doo, you say, hey, look, doo-doo. I'm not going to step in the doo-doo. I don't want to get the doo-doo on me. Now go help them with the doo-doo. I don't want that to become a thing around here, but here we go. But you get my point. You know, the longer that you walk away from God, the louder he's got to be to get you back. And so that's, you see people that are in the throes of just violent opposition to God and his church and his people and all of that and the Spirit. And, you know, they once loved the Bible and now they hate. Well, I don't want to read that book. I don't want to read God's book. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, nothing's speaking to me today because you closed the telephone line. If you can't listen, you can't learn. And you will not lead well. You'll always be burning others out with your self-serving, even in the name of God. I've been guilty of that. I've been a victim of that. Just because something is working doesn't mean you don't need to learn more. To grow more, to stay teachable, and not simply rest on some experience you had, you know, however many years ago. Are you better than the Apostle Paul? He says, I've not arrived. I press on. I stay teachable, and God keeps shaping me. That's Philippians 3, 12 through 15. We won't take the time to go there. He says, I haven't arrived yet. I'm trying to grasp Christ because Christ has grabbed me. And he goes, pay attention to other people that are doing this. God's going to show you what to do. But if you cut yourself off, you're cut off. Paul was mature, and he knew that the more you know, the more you realize you really don't. That doesn't mean that humility is the same thing as having no conviction. It means you're always willing to learn. If you stay arrogant, your own hard heart will be undoing. Can you swallow your pride, or are you just going to keep parading it around? I deserve to be in this phase. I deserve this promotion. I deserve this raise. I deserve. Yeah. Apollos wished to go to Achaia. And everybody's like, oh, yeah. Do you want people to say that about you? Or, oh, no. Can you change that around? What are you becoming eloquent, instructed, fervent, right, about? You mean you're trying to tell me that we got to get with Jesus? Yes, that's every week. It's not just what we need to do. It's what he's done. Thank you, Jesus. It starts from there. But because he's done these things, you don't have to start out like Apollos. You can become like that for Jesus. See, but I'll never be. You don't have to be. Don't limit yourself thinking that you have to be. Don't try to be what you think you want to be. Be what God has made you to be wherever he has you. And then if he wants to move you on, you're good. If he doesn't, you're good. That's the secret. I've learned how to abound and how to abase. I've learned in all situations, I can do all things. I can endure all things because Christ is strengthening me. Apollos had an appetite for me. He was like, yeah, more about Jesus? Tell me. He wanted to grow, not to be greater, but to serve Christ. He loved doctrine, not just for the sake of doctrine, but for the sake of practice. It may take time to grow a love for doctrine, but it will always be there in a mature believer. Always. Always. And a truly maturing believer isn't just interested in a head full of facts, but a heart full of love for Christ and his people. You know, how much you know isn't always how much you grow. You can be like Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:7, they're always learning but never coming to a real knowledge of the truth. I do want us to turn to 1 Corinthians as we're finishing up here. Am I making my point? Am I getting through? Please tell me yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I want you to see something here about your own personal life and about the life of Apollos that is going to help you today when you think about limitations and you think about leaders that are above you in a sense. Wow! How to get along with a boss in 2 minutes. Are you ready? 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 12. Now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly, the Apostle Paul, strongly urged him to visit you with the other brothers, but it was not his will at all to come now. And so therefore he is out of the brotherhood. I banish thee, wretched scum. Apollos, you've lost your salvation. No. He will come when he has the opportunity. Here's Paul. I got to be honest with you. The Apostle Paul starts coming up and saying, hey, if John MacArthur came and said, Mr. Hatfield, I think you need to preach on this series, next book you start, I'd be like, yes, sir. It's not my will at all, John MacArthur. I mean, think about it. But Paul didn't force the issue. Why? Because he knew who Apollos was. He pleaded with him. When he said strongly urged, it's not the Holy Spirit just making up stuff. You know, I really kind of asked him real hard, you know, like Mickey Mouse. This is Paul. You think Paul was on fire? Yeah, yeah. Here's fire meeting fire. I want you to go. I don't want to go. I want you to go. I don't want to go. I really want you to go. I don't really don't want to go. I'll speak eloquently to you why I don't. Well, God's will be. I know your heart's right. I know your spirit's teachable. And so Apollos didn't have to be intimidated. Oh, people pleaser. Hear me today. Oh, having to work with someone that's so hard to work with. Hear me today. Apollos was able to speak his mind. Yet in a humble way, that was listened to. Apollos had no desire to do as Paul wanted in this matter. No desire at all. I mean, think about how clear he is. He had no desire at all. Well, he thought he needed to do here and there. He has no desire at all. Apollos made himself very clear. But it didn't mean he was being stubborn or that he always just had to set his own agenda. It's my ministry and I'll do what I want. No. It means he's able to work with people, and so people would listen to him and work with him. They knew he was teachable, and so they were able to be taught as well. Ouch. Paul didn't try to force the issue because he knew Paul's tender and teachable heart. Some people, like Martin Luther, say that Apollos was the one that wrote the book of Hebrews. You know, we don't have an author listed there. Some people say Paul, some people say Barnabas, some people say Luke. Martin Luther said Apollos. He's a pretty good scholar. You might remember him. You know, that's why we're not Catholics, right? You got that? But if so, this points to his humility, not wanting to make himself look great, but wanting to make Christ look great. That's the whole theme of the book of Hebrews. Christ is superior to the old covenant. Christ is the fulfillment of all these things. Christ is the one you need to fully go after, because he's fully all there is. We're in 1 Corinthians. Turn to chapter 3. We're almost done here. Can I get an amen? Amen about the material, because we're almost done. Okay, wait a minute. You see, you can get offended so easily. You can say one thing, and you know what I mean? You take it the wrong way. I'm looking at you a certain way. He was looking at me. 1 Corinthians 3. Look at verse 4. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, he was that big. Are you not barely being human? What's Apollos? What's Paul? Servants through whom you believe, as the Lord assigned to each. You're stuck with me. Oh, did anybody got that? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Well, Paul planted, but I watered. Paul can plant, but without my water, there is no growth. No, God is the one that gave the growth. You're just the vessel. So neither is he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Let me say this. God doesn't want to limit you making Jesus look great. He doesn't want to limit you. You can live an unlimited life. He wants you to make Jesus look great. But he wants you to do it no matter what the size or scope of your ministry is. It's not how big your ministry is that counts. It's how big Jesus is in your life that counts. Apparently, I don't believe that enough, so I need to read it again. It's not how big your ministry is that counts. It's how big Jesus is in your life that counts. To be used greatly by God, like Apollos, is not about the amount of people who see you, but the amount of Jesus people see in you. You see, the most important task in your life is to be eloquent, competent, instructed, fervent, accurate, and bold about Jesus. Talking about Jesus, living for Jesus, worshiping Jesus, building up others in Jesus, that's what Christians were born again for. And so a supernatural supply is waiting for you to tap into. Put your mind and your passion towards serving Jesus. Doesn't mean you have to have some visible ministry. You don't have to have ministry titles and all that. Just live for him. When he's your passion, you'll be like Apollos. Your desire will be met with delight. More opportunities will open up. And people will be encouraged to recommend you. Boy, isn't that different than it is today. If your heart is set on Jesus, you will be welcomed by ministry leaders. And you'll be greatly help other believers. And then when people recommend you, and it's been a while, and you kind of know them, you actually love them, and have loved them for years, but they haven't been really with you as much, and now all of a sudden they're with you, and something opens up, you'll be like, I'm delighted that you're going to do that. Yay! Why? Because of who you are. If your heart's set on Jesus, again, you will powerfully and publicly proclaim and defend the faith, being grounded in the Scriptures and centered on Christ. Don't be limited by being unteachable. And there's one teacher that you must keep learning from or you will stop growing spiritually. God's truth is in the Bible. Don't try to grow your soul or simplify your spiritual life without it. There's one person you have to look to if you're ever going to live for God's glory. Again, you might know a lot about Jesus, but do you really know Jesus? He is the answer to any and all of your self-limiting behavior. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You know, there is only one Jesus, but he has a lot of faces. Are you seeing him in other people? I do. Oh, but he's only this big. But that's what I'm looking at. Oh, think about that. Jesus says, I'm gentle and lowly in heart. and you will find rest for your souls. Father, I say it a lot, you are most gracious and kind. When I say most, I think that, you know, in volume, you're so great. But then in way, in the breadth of it, in so many different ways, we keep finding out how merciful and gracious you are. And kind and loving. And we are saints in the hands of a happy God. Instill these things in us, Lord. Help us to be teachable. That the world might be reachable through us, whatever world you have us in. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.